Just the time to wait a little bit. I'm doing that because you were not aware that the meeting was to start, but I wouldn't be rude to say cut your cord. Thank you very much. Members, I think we should commence with the... what we agreed upon was one, that today it will be the opportunity of the department to make its own presentation, which is entitled the feedback. I don't know why you call it feedback, because I thought you were making a presentation to us. And then secondly, you will recall when we met MassMart members, MassMart people with macro, I don't know what else, you know. We had proposed to them, they had raised certain pertinent issues that they thought was led in the bill itself. We said to them, they must go back and perhaps assist us as to how best to resolve this particular matter, so that firstly, there are no ambiguities or unintended consequences in what we are actually legislating. You will find there is a document titled MassMart 12 May 2008 that has been circulated. We have a copy, members?
Yeah.
Mr. Rivera? Yeah. Okay. That's, we'll have to look at this at some point. And also, what perhaps we want to suggest, having dealt with this, and I know members, last time we raised this particular issue, we will then get the department, and maybe, I don't know, members, if you will guide me in terms of the MassMart one, whether we deal with it now, I'm not sure MassMart is present. They are not here, but at least there is a document in front of us here. And we then said they will then go through the bill informally, and then maybe allow ourselves to deal with the bill informally. And then maybe thereafter, we can allow parties enough time to consult in their own caucuses so that at least there are some mandates that the people may want to consult with their caucuses. If that is the case, we will then, again, I'm subject to your correction here. Today is Tuesday. Maybe we can break after that, after the clarification of a number of issues, and then come back, pay your guidance now to formally deal with the bill, maybe during the week, or next week Tuesday. But you will give me guidance to how to go forward. Or maybe we deal with that process point first, and then we come to the department. We deal with the informal processes, all of them now, flag issues, understand issues, and then next week, of course, bear in mind that there are all these submissions that you must take into account. And various people have made certain comments in terms of the bill itself, and allow parties to go for their caucuses, and then maybe come back, we finalize the bill on Tuesday. Or we finalize the bill on Thursday, or we finalize the bill on Wednesday, that is tomorrow, or next week Tuesday. Not that.
Thank you. I don't think Chairperson, it would be possible to finalize it tomorrow because our caucuses are on Thursday. If we can come next week Tuesday, and then maybe we can sit Tuesday, Wednesday,
there's a proposal. Yeah. All parties agree. Yeah. I know the two have been missing each other now. They are disturbing the meeting now. so we meet again after this whole process on Tuesday. The MassMart one, we deal with it now or next week, Tuesday? Next week, Tuesday, part. Sorry? Okay, thank you. And so, if that is the case, I don't know from the department who's going to make the submission from your line management dealing with this legislation. Let's hand over to the department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, and the members of the public. Indeed, we would like to express our appreciation as a department for the committee to actually allow us to, as it were, exercise our right of reply, and for us also clarify some matters that the Chairperson asked us to clarify. I'd like to begin with slide number 2, which outlines some of the issues that have been discussed in this bill, and in particular we confine ourselves to those issues that I think have been raised about the department from by and large the tobacco industry. We appreciate the inputs that were made by other people in support of the bill. Do underline that in any case, because they were very supportive of that bill, there was nothing that they would have actually said other than building a context for the support of the bill. So that would have to be taken as input into the bill in its own right, because that's what this parliament is supposed to, and this committee is supposed to do, to allow members to participate. Now, the issues that are outlined, which we would like to respond to, not in detail really, but just to give a picture, are there consultation and the issues that relate to some aspects of the bill, the definition of advertisement, packaging, and organized activity, all those definitions. But, Chairperson, I'd like to begin by saying that the Department of Health, unlike, and I want to underline this, unlike the Department of Trade and Industry, unlike SARS, and unlike all those departments that would have a very common goal with the tobacco industry. The common goal, for example, would be to deal with the illicit industry, because both have a shared goal in that regard. They would then meet and discuss matters and engage as to what measures they will take together to deal with the illicit industry. They would meet also to discuss issues of tax, because they have a common goal to ensure that the tax laws of the country are actually adhered to. The responsibility of the Minister of Health, as outlined in the legislation that was passed by this committee, the National Health Act, Section 3 of that act actually says the responsibility of the Minister of Health, it's 3.1c, says that the Minister must determine policies and measures necessary to protect, promote, improve, and maintain the health and well-being of the population. That's the objective of the Ministry of Health, directed by the legislation passed by this Parliament. I want to challenge anybody in the industry who actually made the presentation here and said that we have a common goal, to say that their goal is indeed to protect, promote, improve, and maintain the health and well-being of the population of South Africa. If it is, then one of the ways in which we would do that is to reduce the number of smokers in this country, or in fact eliminate smoking completely. That's not the goal of the tobacco industry. It can never be. And therefore, we wouldn't say there should be a comparison, in our view, between how the industry engages with SARS to deal with another third party, and the industry engages with the health department. If the goal was the same, then I'm sure we would engage in the same way as we do with a variety of other stakeholders. If you take, for example, the South African National AIDS Council, it's a combination of stakeholders who have the same objectives, who sit together, engage every day, every week, every month, trying to deal with one target, and that's the HIV and AIDS. But I can quote many other examples. So that's the first thing I want to actually emphasize in relation to that. But let's relate this to the matter of the processes of legislation, Chair. We want to submit to this committee, Chair, that unlike this, the committee itself, which is governed by the rules of Parliament and also governed by the Constitution, and we refer to the sections of the Constitution, Section 59 and Section 72 and 73 and 74. Unlike this committee and Parliament, the executive actually does not have any legislative basis in the Constitution to start with. That defines clearly what it is that is meant by consultation with the public. That is why in some legislation, and I know because I was involved in such legislation in education, that is why in some legislation that matter was actually spelled out by the legislation. And it said, even in our own National Health Act, it said two things, which this committee also does, and I want to underline that that's what this committee does and that's what the Department of Health does too. First of all, this committee allows participation by the stakeholders by calling on the stakeholders and giving them time to make written submissions. That's exactly what we do. This committee actually allows for some, as would be called by the some members of the tobacco industry, some engagement with the committee. That was what happened on the 6th and 7th in terms of the public hearing, where the committee listens and asks questions, clarifies issues. But the chair underlined, and I want to underline and support what the chair was saying, because that's what actually this committee is supposed to do. After that engagement, this committee applies its mind, independent of anybody, independent of the Department of Health, the executive, independent of those stakeholders that were making whatever presentation. This committee applies its mind and comes to conclusions about what it wants to do with the legislation. Precisely the same kind of process that this particular department is following. Nothing more, nothing less. And therefore, when we talk about this consultation, unless we are introducing other new criteria for how to determine what consultation is, and what participation engagement is, which in fact are actually not spelled out in any law of this land, then we would submit that the Department of Health has actually fulfilled all the requirements in relation to the introduction of the bills. Even if you go to the rules of Parliament, they start at the point where how a bill is introduced in Parliament, by the executive or by the individual members. And then they continue with how those bills are going to be dealt with. The other rules that come from before then are merely practice and administrative justice. That is why, for example, some bills are published by the executive only for 1 month and others for 3 months. And that's a discretionary thing depending on what actually the situation is. And it happens across this parliament. There's nothing new about that. The executive actually introduced its own rules to itself, which was to say we will only consider those bills if they have actually been considered by the public and the public has had some input into them. through the same processes that Parliament, you know, actually requires. But those are executive rules, and therefore Cabinet has to satisfy itself before it introduces a bill here. It's the responsibility of Cabinet to say in its memorandum, who did you consult? And that's why we have those consultations in the memorandum. And that's what we want to submit exactly happened with this bill. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, we want to say that the consultation processes that took place, first of all, when the bill was published in 2003, and many stakeholders made their submissions both individually and collectively, there were quite a number of changes that were made into that bill before it was introduced to Parliament. Some of those changes which came from the stakeholders, and we can quote them, from the tobacco industry themselves, related to the change in the age limit from 16 to 18 years. If you look at the bill that was introduced and you look at what you're dealing with now, you'll see there's a difference. And that's because of the input that came from stakeholders. The issue of the display of tobacco products at the point of sale. The original bill that was introduced was actually completely banning this matter, completely. The industry made some representation through various means that they made, which I'm going to come to just now, and that bill was changed, and there's evidence to that change. There were issues that were related to duty-free, which were in the original bill, and I'd invite the members to go back to that original bill. And they'll see that that clause is no longer there because that was an intervention of both the industry and SARS that argue that that matter is regulated by the South African Revenue Services and therefore it shouldn't be in a health bill, and it was taken out. I can go on with a few other issues, but I want to demonstrate that the Department of Health listened, like this committee, to stakeholders that wrote and made their submissions and consider certain matters, and like this committee, has a right to agree to certain matters and to disagree with other matters after listening to various people. That's the kind of engagement we understand, because we have a responsibility in law to determine the policies and measures necessary to protect, promote, improve, and maintain the health and well-being of this population. And that's the duty given to us by the laws of this country and by this parliament. And that's exactly what we were doing and what we are doing. Now, I want to go to the further in relation to this consultation issue, because I think we need to actually establish for the committee to judge for itself in relation to what the committee itself would judge itself in relation to this matter. We have, during the period of 2003 and 2004, the industry has been met in different forms, individually, as companies, one-to-one meetings with some officials of the Department of Health, as well as other stakeholders that were involved. Just by way of illustration, this is an email sent from a certain Simon Milson. This is on the 7th of October, 2003. Now, the person writing to Advocate Lambert and Ms. Tim, who are the people who are meeting with the industry together with the third party, starts by saying, "We thank you for an open and frank discussion we had on Thursday, 7th October, regarding the proposed bill." Now, I don't know how a frank and open discussion can be described as the way it was described by some people, which I won't quote. This comes from the BAT, South Africa. In October, when this bill was actually introduced on the 7th, you'll see that it coincides with one of the dates that were quoted here as letters being written. Various other engagements that took place with the industry, individually, in detailed discussions about the issues and where we differ actually can be outlined, and we can give evidence of that. Unfortunately for us, Chairperson, because we are very trusting, we believe that this is an open engagement, we didn't put tape recorders to say so-and-so said what and so-and-so said what. Maybe next time we would do that, because we don't do it in practice. But let's tell you just a few of these meetings.
When was the email?
This one is on the 7th of October. It's about the meeting of the 7th of October, 2003, I think. Yeah. It's written by Simon Milson. 2004, sorry. No. It's the 10-12-2004, that's the date. And it's related to the 7th, the meeting of the 7th.
10-12-04.
Yeah.
10th of December.
Yeah, 2004.
Relating to the meeting of the 7th of October.
2004, yes. I'll refer to that meeting. It's there in your slides. The 29th of October, we had a meeting with the Tobacco Institute of South Africa. That is in 2003, where there was a discussion about the issue of age, where they made a presentation to us on the issue of age, which I've demonstrated, we listened to, and we changed. They talked about the point of sale issue in that meeting. And again, I've demonstrated that that issue has changed in the bill as a result of that engagement. And they also talked about the duty-free sale. Same people. And that issue itself has been changed in the bill. In 2004, we further had other meetings with the British American Tobacco of South Africa, that's BAT, the Swedish Match, which is going to make a presentation here, the Vending Machines Association and the Duty Free Association. All of them were discussing the same issue. In 2006, and I'm going to come back to why these meetings take place in different times, we met with the NGOs, with the tobacco industry, with the bus out of South Africa, in order to discuss the same bill and the same issue. And on the 12th of April 2007, we met again with BAT, South Africa. And all these other dates will show you the different dates at which we met with the Tobacco Institute. And of course, we can actually provide detailed evidence in that regard. But we wanted to make a distinction, Chairperson, which you will see. This bill has actually worked in three phases, as it were. It was introduced in October 2003. And for obvious reasons, which I think Parliament is aware of, in fact, there was a presentation made to the Portfolio Committee at the time, even before the bill was published. But October 2003 was almost towards the election. And therefore, there was a deferral of the bill so that it could be dealt with by the new parliament. When the new portfolio committee was set up, we came back to this committee and to the new committee and presented the bill again to the committee. That was in 2004, late 2004, say June, July or so. Actually, it was more or less in September. When we made that presentation to the bill in September 2004, there was another intervention that we actually addressed the committee to, which was to say that apart from the election that was taking place at the time, we also said that it's just at the moment when the FCTC is being further developed. So rather than us coming back again to amend the bill again after the FCTC so that it's in compliance with that FCTC, let us wait until that process is finished. So there was a process of the FCTC, which was ratified by this parliament, and then in 2006, when that process had been finished, the bill was reintroduced. Now, sir, between that time, 2003 and 2006, that's when we, in our responsibility as the executive, we're engaging with stakeholders. in different forms of whatever one defines as engagement. As soon as the bill was put into this parliament, and this parliament decided to handle this bill, the bill, in our view, is in front of parliament. It's no longer in the hands of the executive. So no one can engage with us for us to actually do anything about that bill, in our view. Whatever our views are, unless parliament has directed us to actually engage with those people and come up with some kind of proposal. The splitting of this bill between 75 and 76 chairperson was a decision of this parliament, and it was executed by this parliament, not by the Department of Health. If anybody says there was no consultation, then it means, a chairperson, the section 75 of this bill, there was no consultation, because it was the same bill, and it was actually passed by this parliament. In fact, the industry told you that the president has actually signed the bill. We're waiting proclamation, and we'll explain why we're waiting for proclamation. Section 76 of the bill, which we are discussing now, is a continuation of a parliamentary process. If at all anybody says we should consult them between 2006 and today on this bill, we say no. And unless this parliament says we are wrong, we will insist that this bill is in front of parliament. It's a parliamentary process, it has been tabled, and the executive has fulfilled its obligation to table the bill. What parliament does with the bill is parliament's business, independent of the executive. And so nobody can say, let's engage on the bill. For the first time, I met Mr. Francois here, and I want to refer to him because he referred to me, he was sitting next to me. I didn't know any Mr. Francois. I met him here when we were coming to make the presentation. And he said, after, of course, the interaction about the letters that we wrote, he said to me, yeah, now we can actually engage. And I said, no, happily, as long as it's not about this bill, because the bill is in front of parliament. I'm prepared to engage with the industry. And then he wrote the next day to the letter, which in fact was responded to my office general practice to say, we acknowledge your letter. We have referred the matter for advice to the DG to a certain section. Anybody here who writes a letter to any department will get that kind of acknowledgement. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's a clerk. It's an acknowledgement of the fact that this office has received your letter. It's being processed. We're being courteous. We're not actually saying you're getting a response from a clerk. If you look at the dates, that was actually in April. We're in May now. In fact, in my schedule would actually say I can meet him in September. But I'll meet him soon, don't worry. We can meet anytime soon. But we want to underline this issue that on this bill from 2006 when it was tabled here, this department is not meeting anybody to discuss and engage on the bill, because the bill is in front of parliament. And unless we're directed by parliament to do so, we will not do so. We have not been directed by parliament to do so, contrary to what has been said. So, basically, what we are saying is the Department of Health has fulfilled its obligation to allow for public comment and to consult and have meetings to listen to people presenting their views. And we have even demonstrated that by changing certain things that were in that bill, which in fact those people have made input to. If we haven't changed everything that they wanted us to change, well and good, that's the process of legislation. This committee must be convinced by them that we should have changed that, and then the committee will change it, not us. So let's underline that. The executive on its part has fulfilled its obligation to actually publish and to consult. I won't go into what I regard as actually, I won't use the words we use about arrogance and so on, but I won't go into these issues of reference to other departments. saying something about the Department of Health. Safe to say that I chair the social cluster of this government, where all these departments participate. I actually participate in the economy cluster. You will see that in all our bills, any submission that goes to our cabinet that does not say which cluster it went to, it went through with its own back, because we haven't consulted the relevant departments. The ministers themselves, who actually feel they have not been consulted adequately in cabinet, will say cabinet cannot pass this thing until we have had a dialogue between the two of us. There are other processes of the executive to actually deal with this issue of consultation within departments, etc., etc. So we wouldn't actually feel that anybody is qualified enough, more than ourselves who participate in this, to actually tell us that this department is known for not consulting by other departments that we sit with, that we actually chair and we interact with, both at the level of the administration and at the level of the executive. Now, Chairperson, there are second aspects of this. I've dealt with the consultation issue in much more detail than I can continue. But the second aspect of this issue relates to a number of measures which, in fact, are about the bill itself. And, Chairperson, as you directed us, we got our legal team to sit with the and to have some discussion with the state law advisor. Because we are also here listening and being guided by this committee, we also asked that team to actually be guided by the discussions with the state law advisors. They do have proposals here that relate to the various clauses on advertisement, on what, and so on, which will be tabled, I think, by the state law advisors or by our legal team or both, at the stage at which the chair would want to do that. I haven't addressed those issues. But just to underline, Chair, that we have done the work that you asked us to do, which is to engage with the state law advisors on some concerns that have been raised. And we have some proposals. They don't come from us exclusively. It's because we have been directed by the Chair to engage with the state law advisors. Otherwise, we wouldn't do this outside that mandate, Chair. There's a third and final issue, Chair, which comes into discussion around this issue of legislation as opposed to regulation. We do understand, Chair, the sentiments that were expressed by the committee, through you, Chair, in relation to this matter, and even directing the committee members to actually look very carefully into this matter, and we appreciate that. In looking at the matter, we would like to request the committee to take into consideration a few matters. Some of these matters that are referred to regulation are actually matters that all of us would agree are of an operational nature, which from time to time would have to be changed. And if time you have to change them, you have to actually go to Parliament and go through the public hearings and so on, then you would have a system that is clogged up. That's the reason why most of these matters, which are really practically of a regulatory nature, are actually given to the executive to continue, because that's operational matters. To take one example, the bill says the minister shall prescribe, I'm not quoting directly, what health messages must be in the packaging. Obviously, if you said, okay, as has been said, let's prescribe them here now. If tomorrow we wanted to, as a result of whatever developments, to actually change those messages, we must come back to Parliament and say, please allow us to change this message now and add the one or delete that one. Those, in our view, are operational matters, and you'll see that most of them are like that, including even the matters that relate to the size of or the space that can be used in the point of sale. if tomorrow there is evidence from the same industry that now we have more actors and we're not able to actually do what we want to do, we would have to come to Parliament to change that, because it's in the law and you can't actually violate the law. Whereas regulations, you just have a period of 2 months or 3 months according to our law for comment, and then you change them, you regulate, you gazette, and then you regulate. It's quicker. The question of whether that can be done in consultation with or after consultation with the portfolio committee, we leave it to the committee to determine. We don't know whether there's a legal instrument like that, but if there is, we don't think there's we are competent to comment on that. All we are commenting on is why some of these matters are actually supposed to be in regulations and not in the law. And those that are supposed to be in the law will be in the law as such. So that's the issue. Our argument is that we need to legislate to spell out the principles so that we can guide the executive to act within certain principles. What we say there, for example, is that with regard to regulations, if people are, first of all, we are obliged by law to publish the regulation, by our own law, and to engage in the manner in which we've described. But if people are actually unhappy with any executive action, they have recourse. And of course, this has happened before. So on that issue, we would just want to submit that the issue be considered in that context, in the context of not a strategy to obfuscate and perhaps to take away certain matters from this committee, but in fact to make matters easier for both the committee and for the executive so that we can be able to execute our task. And that's a very important point to make, Chair. Chair, as I said, as I'm moving towards closure, The various matters that relate to the specifics in relation to the bill itself, which may relate to clauses of the bill as addressed by the Chair, we think we have had some preliminary discussions, as I said, with the state law advisors, and we are in agreement with some of the proposals that are emerging from this conversation. We believe that that can actually be entertained, and in fact we can present some of them if the committee wishes that they be presented, so both either by the state law advisors or by ourselves. So the final issue is to say that we accept as a department, in fact, the point that the Chair made several times, that we are dealing with a legal industry. We accept that. We accept that the industry is legal, is operating legal in this country, and therefore has certain responsibilities, like any other legal industry. We also accept that, in principle, any regulation to a point where we take away the rights of that industry would actually be going beyond our constitutional mandate. We would actually, however, submit that the regulation of this industry, and even the regulation to the extent to which we have introduced in the legislation, does nothing else. It's not against any individuals or anybody that we may like or dislike. It's in line with the responsibilities that are espoused in the National Health Act passed by this Parliament to endeavor to protect, promote, improve, and maintain the health of the population, and in that regard to determine policies and measures necessary to protect, promote, improve, and maintain the health and well-being of the population. That's our mandate. Our mandate is not to regulate the industry. And so this bill is not about regulating the industry. Those that have that responsibility will do that. We are determining policies and measures that are necessary to protect, promote, improve, and maintain the health and well-being of the population. That also is the object of this committee. If at all, anything was put there is found to be wanting in that regard, then we'll agree it must be taken out. But if it is actually found to be in line with that particular policy, unless it is in conflict with our constitution and it violates anybody's rights, we would think that the committee must maintain it. Only for this objective, no other objective. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. I think the input has been well made. I'm not sure, members, you want to make any questions now or in the process of deliberations or matters of clarity that may be sought. We open. Thank you.
Clarity from you, because there are some things I'd like to say, but I'm not sure what you intend to do after this presentation from the Department of Health. Were you going to ask somebody else to present, or because I do think we should discuss what has been said.
I think I'm not sure you were here when we were saying after the department we go informally to the bill. What? Oh, okay.
Chair, I was here in 2003 and I heard all that went on, and I think it's unfortunate that over the issue of smoking, which unites us all as members of parliament, ironically, we should be having such a struggle with the tobacco industry, that they've had such a powerful lobby that we have given them so much attention. And because I've been here since 2003, I'm aware of this ongoing process with the tobacco legislation. It seems to have gone on and on and on. But they are such a powerful lobby that I think we've got to be very careful to separate the content from the process. And you need to assure us that if we go ahead with the bill, having spent so much time, having spent so much money, having been persuaded by their continuous, I wrote down some words that you asked me, and I thought they were quite good. I think I'm listening to you. I think it's their technical tediousness and their intimidating behavior that we're not going to go into this and possibly face legal redress, because they will give up nothing, I believe, in going all the way to take this legislation to court and to ensure that it fails. So, what's the point of going into it to discuss the process if there is a chance, even a chance, that it will fail?
Chair, the DG mentioned, if I'm correct, some amendments you said you wanted to amend. Maybe we should also hear those, what the department's thinking, because I'm sure one of them is around the old sticker issue and the anonymous donations, because I think that was an issue that many of us raised during the course of the proceedings, and to see what their suggestion is on that regard. And then also, when we had our first briefing by the department, I asked the DG if you could submit the committee members with figures of the cost of the health system of smokers, and he said he would do that, but I don't know if he's brought the figures today. And then, DG, just regards the consultation process, I hear what you're saying. You say that you have had... maybe I should wait for you. Okay. You can do two things at once. Okay. Yeah, to really ask, because normally I can only do one thing at a time. Anyway, you have had a consultation, you say, and when you mentioned NGOs in 2006, I take it was also the Smoking Council. Huh? Okay. Anti-smoking, sorry. All right. Are you satisfied in the consultations you've had in 2003, 2004, and 2006? I know what you're saying. There's actually no obligation really on the executive to have consultation. They do expect it though. And so, are you satisfied you've had sufficient consultation? I just want to hear from you, because what Ruth said, I mean, if the tobacco industry isn't satisfied, you will probably be facing a court challenge. And then you also mentioned that from when the bill was tabled in 2006, there was no point in having consultation with. But you do stipulate on page 5 that you had quite extensive consultation in 2007 with BTA on the 12th of April, and again on the 8th of June, 2nd of August, and 9th of October, and Philip Morris this year. So you have had consultation after 2006. Maybe what, I mean, given the fact that the table had been, that the bill was tabled, what was the purpose of those consultations? So if you could just answer the question on the FICA issue, please, and what amendments you're suggesting. The issue regarding the figures on the cost to the health system, the savings to the health system. Remember I asked for that in the previous meeting. And then the issue around consultation. Thank you.
We were all obviously concerned when it was brought up that there was some question around the processes, because we know what it costs Parliament, and we none of us want to see public funds being spent in that manner. The issue of not enough input by stakeholders when the bill being drafted is something that many of us have actually brought up in many committees on much other legislation, and I'm thinking particularly now social development, because obviously more stakeholder consultation at that particular point would be important and relevant and desirable. However, it never has flown up until now. And the only thing that has been tested in the court is the process now once it gets to Parliament. That we're clear on. And I'm pretty satisfied, I'm totally satisfied that that process is not in question. Now, my feeling is that it would be unfair for us to back off on an assumption that, well, let's say, just because the tobacco industry have the money to fight it in court, those organizations in social development who don't have the money to fight it in court must just back off and take whatever stakeholder input they get. Whereas this way we back off, because if this is the case, we must have it tested in court. You know what I'm saying? So that we actually sure. If that is a requirement, we must know for sure, so that we don't just have it on the tobacco bill, but we have it on all legislation. So I'm personally quite satisfied that if there is a need to test this, it must be tested for the sake of all legislation. Otherwise, I don't see that we have a problem with the process.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to go to the clause that says or suggests that you want to ban all advertising. Now, is that the mandate of the Department of Health, or is that the mandate of Trade and Industry? How does that now, in terms of the Constitution, regulate or impact on free enterprise, on anti-competition? And do you think that this bill will stand up to a constitutional challenge? Because it is most regrettable that we sit here and we deal with legislation and then we have litigation. And Parliament is, you know, must not fall into the trap of having legislation decided by litigation.
Would I be right, Honourable Kalyan? That particular matter on advertising is a subject of our deliberation. Maybe let's leave it there, because it's going to be up to us to deliberate and look into all the possible scenarios to exactly avoid some of those possible complications that you may anticipate. Yeah, we were more dealing with the broad aspect of some of the most pertinent issues in terms of the criticism that was leveled at the department. I'm not sure if you'll agree with me. We're going to deal with it just now. DJ?
No, thank you very much, Chair. I think on the first question, I would say that It's interesting that up to now you have no precedence, legal precedence, on the executive side in terms of consultation. It's not been an issue. And as the honourable member was actually referring to this matter, it's because it's not defined by any law. It's only defined by the regulations, except in specific laws that are there. Like, for example, our own National Act actually spells out what to do with regulations, but not with legislation. The danger of that, of drafting together, I can imagine we have 16 to 20 stakeholders within the South African National AIDS Council. There are formals recognized. I'm not talking about the others that are not necessarily there. If they were to sit around the table and try and formulate some legislation where there's a consensus among all of them, that, what kind of legislation we would actually have as an outcome? Because they don't agree. They approach these matters from different levels. I suppose that's why, in the end, even in Parliament, the expectation is that the parliamentarians will end up making the decisions themselves. Because if you're to try and sit with the stakeholders that are here and say, let's now see how we can reconcile them, we would have a longer process. So it's more defining what are the things that can be taken as consultation. And I've said that there are two tests. One is, have we given sufficient time for public comment? And have people written submissions and so on, and that has happened in this bill, to answer you. Secondly, that where people have wanted to have an interaction individually so that they present themselves orally, has it happened? And I'm saying it has happened, and I've demonstrated that. So I would say, from where we stand, we are very sure that this thing would not be challenged. It wouldn't even be here. I mean, they would have challenged it before. Because also, if you challenge it now, but you are challenging the executive, then you come to other principles of this constitution, that there's a separation of powers. This house is not bound by what the executive did or didn't do. Otherwise, we're suggesting that whatever, because we have so much consulted and come up with some kind of consensus bill, this committee cannot change, which is not possible, because the committee is independent of what the executive does. So I would say, there would be no legal challenge that, in my view, would take it back to the executive and what they did. But that's, you know, lawyers, you're a lawyer, you would know. Other lawyers will give you other advice. Let me leave the matters of FICA for now, in the same way as the chairperson has referred to the matters of advertisement. I'll address them as soon as the chair allows us to talk to that issue. But the consultations that have taken place after 2006, I'm actually saying, even within them, we were making this point that the bill is in front of the committee. But there was this new thing that was emerging now called snooze, that because it was in the bill and people were bringing new evidence to say it can be, it's a very good thing, it's less harmful, et cetera, et cetera. They wanted to present that evidence to us, so we were willing to listen to the evidence, but not necessarily to discuss the bill with a view to changing anything, as we were expected to do by the presentations that have been made here, which is why they are suggesting take it back to the executive and we'll have a better bill, better from the tobacco industry side. The thousands of people that would call in to actually engage, from the ANC Youth League, from the youth structures that come, you know, that are talking about alcohol and tobacco, to come and have this discussion, would actually create a nightmare for us in that regard. So that's why we had those consultations, but under the same principle. So Chair, I've actually addressed the issue. The specific questions about the amount saved by the state, we haven't really, we gave a general pitch and we asked that the MRC give you that information, but if they haven't, we haven't really got into it. It's a matter we will need to get into very carefully. I hope you have answered all the questions.
Thank you very much, DG. Well, I think I'm happy members are happy with the responses, I think, from the bill and the clarification of the legal issues involving the question of consultation. I think that's quite an important area that we must actually appreciate. I would have thought, I was just going to check with the state law advisors here. I would have thought, of course, there's an obligation on us as parliament to consult. I would equally have thought that in terms of, what is it, corporate governance? In terms of corporate governance, it's logical to me that the department must consult. Otherwise, I mean, there's no sense of the government as powers that doesn't consult with people before certain processes are presented to us. That's the simple logic of corporate governance. So let's not put this thing in a rigid way. That would be very bad presentation, I think, of the face of our government if we do so. Even though legally and constitutionally there may not be necessarily prescriptions to that effect, but I think the spirit, the corporate governance of our government prescribes certain things in terms of consultation. So I think it's important that particular issue, I think, be understood, I think, from my perspective here. The other issue that DG was raising, which I think I must raise, because I remember this particular aspect, I think members of this portfolio committee and our state law advisors in particular, we spent much time on it, was the, you call it splitting of the bill or the tagging of the bill. I think we dealt with this bill 2007. Am I right? Yeah? 2007, I think, with the, so 2007. 2006. Then this bill was presented to us. Last year, 2007. Beginning of last year. I don't know why is our memory so lapsing now. When this thing was presented to us beginning of last year, I'm not sure from the other people who actually came, one of the issues we debated quite elaborately was on this separation or tagging of the bill. When it was presented to us, it was a minister, I want to really underscore this point, who presented to us as a separate 75 and 76 bill. And I think at that point in time, if my memory serves me well, it was precisely because there will be not sufficient time to consult with the NCOP process in terms of those sections dealing with advertising, organized activities, etc. Maybe the state law does, if you can remember. That's my own thinking. So it was not parliament.
I remember now the discussion. There were lots of us that weren't in support of separating it, and I don't think the industry wanted to separate it. Am I correct? I don't think the industry wanted to separate the two bills, but that's beside the point. The one was regarded as needing input from the provinces, and the other part was regarded as not needing the same degree of input from the provinces. So the one was regarded as having to go through the Section 75 process and the other Section 76 process. That's my recollection of it. Anyway, that's history.
Yeah,
it was silly to slip.
That's exactly what the chairperson is saying. That's exactly what the chairperson is saying, that the minister introduced the bill to parliament as two separate bills. And we spent considerable time to argue as to the advisability of splitting this particular bill. And I remember in particular, I think the state law advisors were toing and froing in making us to understand this issue. I really want that to be understood for record.
Chair, I would hope that our colleagues from the state law advisors would actually call me, because it's not possible that by the time the minister introduced the bill, it was already split. It was one bill. And in our understanding, it was actually...
What I remember, I was dealing with this, I was hearing it, I remember previously.
Can I clarify from the parliamentary legal advisors?
Yeah, thank you
very much. We as the parliamentary legal advisors... Yes. Now, we as the parliamentary legal advisors advise the JTM as to the tagging of a bill. The state law advisors informally requested us to have a look at this bill because they had concerns that it had trade, and they had other concerns that it had health or national issues. We informally advised that they contained trade matters and other matters. So in our view, the JTM would have tagged the bill as a mixed bill. And on that, acting on that information, the department then, the state advisors and the department, introduced two separate bills. We did so for matters of constitutionality as well, concerned that we're dealing with an industry that will look at technicalities to invalidate a bill, which could be said that we then have a mixed bill. And that's the reason that we advise that the bill be split informally. But the bill was introduced, formally the minister introduced two separate Section 75 and 76 bills.
What I'm saying, you know exactly what I'm saying.
You're not right. No, you're quite correct.
What I'm saying, that I was clarifying that it was not Parliament.
We've been missing you. Thank you very much. Now, DG, thank you very much. I think you have clarified, and I thought there were certain technical issues. There's a paper circulated here. Where does it come from?
It comes from me. The
department. Okay, thank you very much. Now.
Get my copy.
Can
I have my copy?
Oh.
Thank you very much. I think finding that we cannot start the process, would that be allowed to do so?
But I just want to find out from the DG, because there was a concern raised last week on over-regulation. I just want to clarify my mind. What do you think as far as that is concerned? Over-regulation.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Two things. Our view is that we are dealing with the same bill, which was split by Parliament or on the advice of Parliament. Fine. Which was, please, well, let's not debate that, but I'm simply saying it was split by Parliament, not by the Cabinet, through the state laws advisors and Parliament. Right? But we're dealing with one bill. The one thing I didn't really deal with is this issue which I promised to deal with, which is related to your question, that Section 75 of this bill has been passed and proclaimed by the President. No, not proclaimed, but signed by the President. One of the reasons why it has not been proclaimed is precisely because Section 75 introduces the new age issue, which is 18 years. The current bill, which is not amended, which is being amended by Section 76, actually has the age of 16. Those things conflict already, because the idea was that you would actually have one bill to deal with the whole thing. We can't ask the President to proclaim a bill which is going to introduce contradictions. That's just the basic matter, you know, for people to say, why aren't you enforcing Section 75? We can't enforce it in relation to that, because there is a contradiction in the legislation, for example. So indeed, with regards to over-regulation, well, it depends on where you sit. Where we sit, we still need more measures, in fact. If we had our way, we would have even more radical measures to actually regulate smoking in this country, because it's a health hazard. That's our objective. So over-regulation is a relative term, in our view. We are not over-regulating. In fact, we have under-regulated so far.
I'm afraid that I don't want us to be diverted by all these other things, because the substance of whatever is going to be said when we deal with the actual content that is actually in front of us here, because in my own view, maybe let me not say this now. Can I just request that we just deal with the issues they confront us now? No, never do that. That would be very bad of me to do that. But I'm saying maybe you'll find enough time to comment as we deliberate. You agree?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Informally, let's go to...
Page 1. The first thing of the first
one. Is anything there? Your page 1 will be your this page here.
Oh, sorry. That's the title
page. Page 1. Nothing. Thank you very much. Page 2?
What are you saying, nothing?
Page 1 is the same.
Yeah, but we've just been handed a document.
Page 1 is this one.
Honorable
Dudley?
Yeah, no, I realize that. But we've just been handed a document with the word advertisement on
page 2.
We will deal with it on page 2.
Okay.
But as you know, I must start from page 1 to the last page.
Yeah, no,
thank you very much. Nothing. Page 2.
Chairperson, you had asked the director of the department, together with the state law advisors, to discuss this matter of advertisement in terms of its definition and how it doesn't exclude and so on. We have looked at the matter and discussed it with the state law advisors preliminarily. The language we have introduced here, we would hope, in a way, would deal with some of the concerns that are actually there from discussions that have taken place with the state law advisor. So, Chair, I would like to, for the consideration of the committee, to consider that as a possible solution.
This page here that you have circulated.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That will be dealing on page 1, line 7.
Yeah, from 7 to...
downwards.
Yeah.
But before that, maybe let's start in the preamble to amend. Are there any issues there? None. One on page one, on page two only. There's now the proposal presented here. You will recall, I think there were two comments in this. There was a comment from DAT, there was a comment from Philip Morris, there was a comment from UCT, you know, there was a UCT comment, there was a comment from Advocate Lambert. They were all commenting on advertising, if you recall. So let's take them in their totality. But you will recall this response, what it was saying. I can't remember. One of the submissions that was saying this may have other implications of even disallowing people from just simple issuance of business cards and business communications. I think Philip Morris' presentation. And British American, let's look at it. Oh, you are a star. Let me look at it. British DAT. And JTI, what is JTI? Japan Tobacco Industry. These are all the comments, but now I think we have mandated the people to avoid all those other complications. Also the point you were raising on speakers and whatever you are raising. Any comments? There it is. I'm not going to read it unless you want me to read it.
The definition does include what the concerns of the tobacco industry. The definition, the proposed amendment to the advertisement definition, it does include the concerns of the tobacco industry. But I'd just like to make one or ask a question. If I can just read it out, Chair, because I have said. Okay, you say it excludes commercial communication between a tobacco manufacturer and its trade partners, business partners, employees, shareholders, and stakeholders of a tobacco manufacturer. And what about and importer, or is that not necessary? Because are you not excluding importers then? That's just a question. And then it carries on.
In line with the concerns about logos on buildings and on cards and letterheads, obviously we all agree that something needs to be said here. But what I'm looking at in terms of this proposal, and especially seeing as we were shown exactly how the industry interprets such an exclusion in their publications for what manufacturers, etc. So we are actually seeing a distortion that could come through this. We saw the kind of thing that if that kind of advertising that was going into those trade magazines are not going on to the public, what point are they there? So the fact is, this is a clear loophole, but we do need to cover over the issue of logos on buildings and cards and whatever, but I really think we should look at some other kind of wording, and one example would be in the Irish law, which hasn't presented any problems. The wording, in circumstances where such statement, display or publication may reasonably be regarded as a recommendation of the product to the public. So what we're saying now in terms of the definition of advertisement, we then qualify by saying in those circumstances where you can really, for example, that trade publication lying in a restaurant, it can reasonably, it's a circumstance that we can reasonably say is regarded as a recommendation to the public. So I'm just feeling that we definitely need something to take away the unintended consequences of logos not being allowed where they should be allowed. But what we've got here in front of us is actually null and voiding our original aim, because it's actually keeping all of those loopholes in place. with the abuses that we've seen to date. So I would like to propose that we consider a different wording there. Definitely we have to consider some wording, but a different wording.
Can you just read what wording were you suggesting?
Well, I've got this here, and I don't know whether it can be copied, but this is a copy of Irish legislation, and I won't read the whole piece of legislation, but the wording that stood out for me was, in circumstances where such statement, display, or publication may reasonably be regarded as a recommendation of the product to the public. So we still want the definition of advertisement, but we're just saying that it's... a statement in any trade description or designation or display or any publication of trademark emblems. So basically, we've said all that, but it would be in that particular circumstance. So in other words, a logo on a building is certainly not in a circumstance where we would regard it to be a recommendation of the product to the public. A logo on a card is clearly not in a circumstance where we would regard it as being an advert. So can we ask someone to look how that wording would fit in? Yeah, can we get a few copies of this? I'm sorry, I should have thought. Just a comment about that proposal, Chair. We must remember that we're dealing with the tobacco industry. If you have a word reasonable and your regulations are going to start trying to define what reasonable is, you'll be challenging it in court all the time. So I don't think that's any value to us. I think you've got to be as specific as possible without leaving... Because the word reasonable leaves so many loopholes and so much scope for interpretation. So I hear what Dudley is saying, but I think if we want to achieve that goal, we must do it in a more definite way. And let's read this new advertisement definition carefully and see if it doesn't achieve the goals that we hope to achieve. I'm not convinced that it doesn't achieve those goals. Thanks.
Honorable, I think if you recall, I'm sure you will have in your package, there was a submission by Advocate Lambert, who circulated, I think, on a slide to us, I think a magazine in one place, that was saying all sorts of things in a magazine, but in one way or another, also talking about the product itself, you remember?
Yeah.
But now, that magazine may have been a magazine communicating about the product, maybe?
Yes.
But it might also have been a magazine simply being a magazine informing people about all other the business. I'm just looking at this word, business partners, but unintendedly advertising. I think that's a loophole that I think you're actually telling us. So maybe that's what we need to look into. But you will recall also some of the concerns, because we also were saying in our own discussions earlier on, we want reasonableness in what we're doing. So you say logos in a building, this is a BAT building, and logos in my business card, etc. But close these loopholes of
publications.
I don't know how to do that. Maybe we'll have to think as we to deal with this thing.
I hear what Honorable Dudney's concerns are. It's that the one advert we saw with a semi-naked lady promoting a new brand of cigarettes called Shag.
What?
Called Shag. I don't know which company it is anyway. Okay. Okay. But so the thing is that that's what we want to prevent. We don't want...
BAT thing.
No, stop it. Jim Ross. Okay, it's another company which isn't here this year. But, I mean, clearly that is an advertisement. It's not... It's not informing a wholesaler or a retailer of a new cigarette that's on the market. It really isn't advertisement. I think we all agree with that. And that's what we want to prevent. So if the department, I don't know if the department is satisfied with this wording that they have handed out, but I mean, if they are satisfied that we could tell that kind of advertising, then I think, you know, we should be satisfied. But if not, then we need to tighten the wording.
Two areas that we need to polish there, I don't know. If we don't finish now, we still have food for thought. We'll be this business partner and whatever that will be there. Let's look into what there were submissions made by a number of people. I think VAT even put certain wording. Also, this wording, stakeholder, would that not be too broad? I may be a smoker. What, am I not a stakeholder? Would that be wrong to say? Yeah? Sorry? I'm a stakeholder. So those are some of the little things maybe you must help us. Let's find time to look at the submissions. Philip Morris submission, VAT submission, I think now Advocate Lambert submission is guiding us in some of the areas that we need to be vigilant on. And what other submission was there? Japan tobacco industry. Are we together?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm saying so many things. Or you want to think about it and you proceed? We have the copy of Philip Morris. Ne? Do we have the copy?
So the BAT one would be a good reference.
BAT one?
Because we used it in
Oh, thank you, TJ. Okay, BAT one would be the good reference. There's a new one being circulated now. Is that the same one that we submitted? We don't want to sparkle a new one here. Philip Morris. Now, let's look at this one. Definition advertisement. And promotion section 1. Philip Morris, South Africa Pty Ltd. should expressly exclude communication with trade, wholesalers, and retailers. Remember? Where's the mass mart one? This, we'll have to look at that one also. Remember the mass mart? And then should first exclude trade programs compliant with Competition Act, not aimed at consumer safety. You've looked at that as well, ne?
Yes, yes.
Thank you. I think that's what Philip Morris, they made, for instance, business cards. That was the only example they made. And then BAT, are we all together, Philip Morris? Mr. Philip, thanks. VAT, but exclude communication with personal, but exclude. Evident, Irish law. Yeah.
What I'm seeing when I look at this proposal, first of all, we do need to make sure that the unintended consequences are not there, that we don't have issues around logos on buildings and cards and letterheads, etc. However, I feel that this exemption is going to just create a problem where things like, for example, trade publications actually go out as full-scale advertisement magazines that, although they're called trade publications, if they happen to be lying in a restaurant or elsewhere, it sort of avoids any kind of censure. But if you put the words "in circumstances where such statement displays," so in other words, that trade publication, although what's in it is questionable, in the hands of a wholesaler or retailer is one thing, but when it's found in other circumstances, it's a completely other. So I'm suggesting that the words "in such circumstances," if you look, I underlined it there, it says "in circumstances where such statement, display, or publication may reasonably be regarded as a recommendation of the product to the public." Because then the standard would be where we find that publication. It's not about the publication itself. It's about where that publication lands up.
So you suggest that would be our three. Creating awareness of tobacco product, brand, element, or tobacco manufacturer's name in relation to a tobacco product, and in circumstances. Would that be correct, lawyers? They will help me there.
How do the lawyers feel about it?
You're going to talk on this only.
In all legislation, there is an assumption of reasonableness. So putting the word "reasonable" there is not changing it, because whenever legislation is challenged...
The circumstances.
No, but also, the reason... this does not put the onus on the tobacco companies. They can print it. How does it land up in a room where it's not supposed to be? You've got to have very tight legislation around, for example, censorship. Where can publications be sold? How high can they be? Etc. So then they'll have to cope with challenges about a product being found in a kiddie's school kit or a kiddie's school bookshop or whatever that they're not responsible for. So that's not going to help us. If you go back to the department one though, and also if can I ask a question? Does this include the assumption that there is no visual depiction of anything other than the logo? Because if we can include that no communication with regard to tobacco may contain any visual depiction other than the logo, won't that help us? Because nobody's going to read a tedious publication about trade issues, what percentage of tobacco, what percentage of all the other additives is in it, if there's no attractive picture that hooks them into the publication. So if we take out the words that the chair noticed, which were stakeholders, because a stakeholder could be the smoker. So you take out the word stakeholder, and you include somewhere that no tobacco publication may contain any pictorial image other than the logo.
I'm okay with that.
What is that? That's already contracted, no? What? Okay.
What was that due to point of sale advertising? Because there you have a picture of the particular cigarette
and a logo. But no symbolic representation of beautiful woman or nubile couples or whatever.
Now, you see, let me guide you then here. Philip Morris says, should expressly exclude communication with trade, wholesalers and retailers. They are quite restrictive in what they want to do, to avoid all these other ambiguities that are there. Now, the Honorable Waters was saying, what about importers? Maybe should expressly exclude communication with trade, wholesalers, retailers and importers. And do away with this stakeholder, just to avoid any ambiguities, and do away with business partners, I think will be reasonable, because you must communicate with your business partners. But stakeholder would be too broad. I'm not sure what we think about that. Stakeholder would be too broad. How's that? Just rough amendments. We'll come back to the drafting. And then we include, I think, as our Roman 3 under A, in any circumstances where such statement, display, or publication may reasonably be regarded as a recommendation of the product of the product to the public, to take care. You remember the point, Advocate Lambert raised. It's quite a subtle way, but it was so smart, so cleverly in a simple magazine.
Yeah.
So in this one, we already put it, we proscribe it.
We must have a letter.
So we put that as the Roman 3 under A. How's that? We'll come back and deal with it. You don't agree, okay?
Thank you, sir. I would also propose that you give us indulgence to think thoroughly, because I'm thinking of a situation where we can avoid editors becoming a journey and try at least and think this more, especially with the new Roman 3, and look at if there can be no repercussions and unintended.
We've got the sense of what you want to remedy,
yeah,
to take on board the concerns of various people who made submissions. We've got the sense of where we want to go in the spirit of what the DG said in the submission, in terms of what is the premise of the Department of Health, and I think it's so far so the Portfolio Committee in approaching this particular legislation versus your trade and industry people, your finance and other people. If we take that in their totality, and but taking all this, you look into what Philip Morris says, you look what the BAT says, they've now circulated a one-pager that actually assists us there. And then maybe when we meet, take that now, and then the Irish law issue, and then just come back maybe with a particular recommendation that assists us in there. Can we flag it that way?
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Let's flag. Okay, we'll flag it, we'll refer to the departmental proposal, the state law, the proposal, the Irish law, and the submission that we got. And then they will then take the sum total of all those things, then come back and deal with it later. Agreed to? Thank you very much. That's any other issue under one? We leave one of, no, one now we leave it. Unless, oh, Mr. Musabi.
Thanks, Chairperson. Is the Chairperson referring to section one of the bill? Because there is...
One.
Oh, page one. I'm sorry, Chairperson.
Page two. Oh, page two. Thank you very much.
No, Chairperson, I'm on page two already.
Page 3. Okay. Now, page 3. Chair, we also had another matter there that...
under 1.
Under page 3 on D.
On page 3.
Yeah, on D.
One?
That's what we'll speak to. Yeah. And Mr. Mutapi will speak to it.
That's
organized activity. Again, the Chairperson referred this matter to us in the same vein. So we would like to make a suggestion.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to refer honorable members to page 3, line 23. The underlying part of that proposal, which says... is likely to promote tobacco use. Most of the presenters last week had a concern around what is likely would be interpreted, that it's subjective, and the department has considered that, and our proposal is that maybe we should remove is likely, because it's subject to different interpretation.
Line 22.
If then that's what you say, Mr. Mutapi, what about your page 1, 2? Page that's 15, 16, 17 line. Likely effect, will that be fine? What or you consider that?
And Chairperson, yes, we'll also be considering that it must have been an oversight on our part, but we'll consider the likely. I think maybe we should discuss it with the state law advisors, and we'll come up with a solution to that.
Okay.
Proposal is in line with the IFP's original position on this bill when Minister Benengabani was still the Minister of Arts and Culture. We felt if the tobacco company have a surge of goodwill towards the development of culture and education, we should not stamp on it. If they have a lot of extra cash and they want to promote education in the country, and art galleries, let them do it. Let us just require that there's no advertising of the tobacco company. No written advertising.
Where are you?
Yeah. No, we are there, because it's D, substitution of the scientific organized activity. It means any activity.
We're dealing with likely.
Oh, yeah, but it's part of the same tool.
It was part of a specific vocab. Was the word
likely. I agreed with that long ago, that's right.
We then want a consensus only there. Then we'll come and give you the other thing from Dr. Ngubane. But for now, let's wait for that specific one. I was saying that Mr. Musapi and Ms. Mdludlu, they say that they concur with you on this likely on page 2 as well. Am I right? Covered. Now, let's come to Dr. Ngubane.
Yeah, I already made my point. Let us.
This clause,
D, organized activity. We are not allowing them to conduct any organized activity or sponsor any arts event. Sorry?
I think at this stage, the idea is that this is a definition. It doesn't, at this stage, direct what must happen to an organized activity. We will address that later.
So the definition is here for a reason. It's because we're not going to allow organized activity. Fine. I've made my point, but we'll come to it later. Okay. I feel we should use their money, but we shouldn't let them use it as an opportunity to advertise, because they did some wonderful art exhibitions. So if we allow them to do an organized activity like hold an art exhibition or sponsor education, but not speak advertising to it, so they won't be able to put their name up all over.
That's on page 4.
To promote tobacco use, and then that's what it said. There was a comment by DAT on packaging. And also on the one.
Packaging, what did we say? There were some comments around packaging. The container in which tobacco products are sold at wholesale or at retail.
At a later stage where there was an issue raised about the labeling, we'll deal with what I think you are referring to.
Okay. Anything else on page 1 for now? Page 3. None. Page 4. Oh, sorry.
Can I also refer honourable members to line 28 on page 3?
Line
28. Definition of package.
Yes.
Currently it reads like package means the container receptacle or wrapper in which tobacco products are sold, supplied or distributed at wholesale or at retail. We considered the concerns that were raised by different presenters, and in principle, Chairperson, we agree that we should delete wholesale. Wholesale is in line 30. At wholesale, or so it will read, package means the container, receptacle or wrapper in which tobacco products are sold, supplied or distributed at retail. I think the concern was more emphasized by BAT in their presentation. The slides are not numbered.
Sorry, can I ask a question on that?
It's not numbered here, it's just a slide. They said package, and then they said container in which the products are sold at wholesale. I think there was a concern with wholesale. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Can I ask a question on that?
Yes.
So would that mean, because I'm getting the picture that what we're then doing is the big cardboard box that's covering the small packets will now be exempt, which means now the transporting of this big cardboard box can have these beautiful angel wind or big sporting because we can have all the advertising on. So I'm thinking we're creating a bigger. So it's not going to affect that. Alright, so if we just know, if it does start to affect that later on, that we can come back to that. That's fine, then I'm happy with it.
Chair, I would like to. Oh, sorry, Chair.
I would like to say
to Honourable Dudley that our perspective at the moment is one which says that the industry said to this committee, that this industry in particular, that they are law abiding citizens and will not look at these loopholes and so on. We want to start with that. And perhaps in that spirit, Chair, That's how we've approached the matter. Not that we agree wholly. We understand the concerns that she's having, which we would have too. But let's test this, Chair, that the wholesale labeling is not going to be advertised. That's why we say let's exclude it. Because we believe the industry says it will abide. So that's why we're not concerned about what Honourable Dudley is concerned about at the moment.
Chair, you don't make legislation based on trust you have for people. You make legislation based to protect you from the most nefarious part of that industry. And I saw the people here very upset about that advert that appeared in the magazine. Mr. Waters referred to Shag, and they said nobody here. They can't take responsibility for what everybody else is going to do. And how do you separate the wholesale building from the retail building? They're all in the same street. And there will be groups that will take advantage of every loophole. So I don't agree with saying we're doing it on the basis of trust. I also don't agree we should have regulations given to the minister on the basis of trust, where she can do what she likes. Even though she's a nice minister and we trust her now, the law shouldn't allow anybody to do what they like. We're protecting the people from the worst that somebody in the public is going to want to do. So I'm sorry, I don't agree with the department.
But we dealt already with the question of the regulations when the department was presenting.
Yeah.
And I thought all of us were happy with the explanations there.
Yeah.
And again, moving exactly from the wording you used, reasonableness of the minister in those regulations and other protecting the mechanisms that are actually enshrined in that, including taking people out of the law. would agree to that. Where we think in this specific reference regulation may not necessarily be enough, we'll refer to that one.
Yes.
But broadly, we should agree that the regulations are the realm of the minister.
But Chair, the point I'm trying to make is that in this case, I do think we should keep in wholesale or at retail, so that we don't have the loophole that Honourable Dabby referred to. I'm just sorry that, you know, I always argue against, I'm making a more general point here, I argue against too much power given to anyone, usually against too much power given to the minister, but here I don't think we should give the scope to the tobacco industry to use our respect for their self-regulation. We should regulate them to prevent them from finding a loophole and sending the material we don't want them to send to retail to wholesale, so it'll go through the streets and it'll be nicely branded. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we just put a question mark there that we can come back to it once we see where it actually works out in the bill, because we don't want it to be in a situation where the department can't regulate, for example, that it needs to be brown boxes or whatever. So we need to just look. I know when it turns up, in the we can look at that wording specifically and see if it does bring that consequence or not. Thanks.
Is there no way, where for instance, just to jump the gun just for a while now, if you look on your page for clause number 6, no person shall package or label the tobacco product in any way that is false, blah, 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 trademark, figurative, or other sign that directly or indirectly creates the impression that a particular tobacco product is less harmful than another. Oh, that's not the one, eh?
Yeah.
Who says no? No, I just wanted somebody to go to help me. Eh? Oh, I thought somebody was going to help me. Okay, let me leave it. Bueno. Okay.
In line with what you've just read, can I just ask something that...
Before, so that
yeah.
We can read this thing for changes that the lawyer has done.
Page 4, subsection 8.
Page 4, subsection 8.
That is line 46.
Yeah. Line 46. No person shall manufacture for the same.
Yeah. To go back, you actually just happened to read number 6, but if we just then apply that to there, we're saying that no person shall package or label a tobacco product in any way that is false, misleading, etc. Now, the description of package excludes wholesale.
Yeah.
So they can lie to the wholesalers. I'm just trying to see where the issues would be there.
Unless the package is unless it is packaged in a prescribed manner.
What we're saying is we've excluded wholesale now from anywhere we talk about package. If we exclude wholesale there, it opens a whole new avenue of what can be said when it's in retail and what can be said at the wholesale level. Thanks, Chair. I mean, I hear what the honourable members are saying, and that was the original intention about wholesale, that we keep it, because at the end of the day, the concern, why it was in the bill in the first place, it is in the bill in the first place, is that the concern at a wholesale outlet, there's a likelihood, like the honourable has said here, that box will have anything and everything that we do not want to see, which is tantamount to advertisement, which is tantamount to promotion. And so I think, you know, for us, initially, we thought, let's include it. But of course, we'll be guided by the committee here on what needs to be done.
Yeah.
But it just makes sense, you know, the input around the issue raised by Yeni now, that if we look at that subsection 6 where it says no person shall, then it makes sense that we include it.
Remember, there was somebody who made the submission, I can't remember, who showed that a brown box.
Yes.
Oh, what is it saying? Philip Morris. What's that thing?
Plain brown.
Sir, I think they were arguing that they should keep it less except for the brand name. I think they were saying just keep it blank except for the brand name. What they were avoiding here was the labeling in terms of what the minister would regulate and health messages and all those things. So they said keep it blank with just the brand name at the wholesale plan.
I think I hear what the industry is saying is that you need to identify what the contents of the box at the wholesale is, right? But we don't want branding and advertising or on the box. Right? So now what BAT has suggested, I'm sure I'm not using any other companies there, I'm not promoting them, is that what they've done, they've taken the Rothmans box and they've just put Rothmans on it for the barcode. Quite bland. So they've taken away the branding of the product, which I think is suitable to members. But if we do, now, the other thing is, if we do take wholesale out of a definition, you won't be able to prescribe the kind of advertising or the markings on the box. As far as I see it, maybe I'm wrong. Or you can, you know. But I think what the members want, I think what we all want, is that you just have a simple name on the box, whatever, Camel, Marlboro, whatever, just a normal name. And so the wholesalers know what's inside the box.
Yeah.
But no advertising on the box, no branding of the product in the box.
But this box is written special night, and we said
if we agree.
Yeah, but that's an example.
Okay, so if we exclude wholesale there, then we need to put in some clause that makes sure that that packaging can be regulated. So then that would be fine. So it's, we won't have a problem excluding wholesale in that definition, provided we make sure there's a clause somewhere that enables the minister to make regulations on that packaging. Because my concern is just that if we remove wholesale there, we take away the ability to regulate that.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm covered, sir. I think what I was saying is, I understand where the tobacco industry is coming from. We have to have some marking on the box. My concern was, if we take wholesale after the definition that the department has recommended, then we won't be able to regulate what goes in the box. However, what Honourable Dudley has suggested is that we have a separate clause saying that on the boxes to wholesalers, we can regulate what goes on the boxes. If we have a separate clause for that.
What not nine is saying, a wholesaler shall display a tobacco product at his or her place of business in a prescribed manner, and then the minister prescribes.
Yeah.
Mr. Musafi, if this, that is the case, it means in the definition we keep all faith.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's still thinking. Don't intimidate.
Honorable Chair, remember that the issue in the definition you are defining a package.
Okay.
That's what you are trying to define.
Yeah. Okay.
And the intention is to then refer to the prescription of the package as it relates to the public. But if you're reading it with nine, Chair, I think that wouldn't include wholesale, does it?
So you maintain that we believe wholesale is the definition.
But that's talking about display. So do we need to
display this one?
Yeah.
Instead of unpacking it. That's why I'm saying there's a difference between the two.
Can we just ask someone to look at it, how it could be incorporated?
Yeah.
Can we ask then that the lawyers look at how that clause, that nine there, can be made to cover not just the display, but what would you call it, the distribution boxes or the packaging or the whatever, so that it just covers it there.
Chair, we're complicating our lives. It does already. There's no prescription here in the way it is written. Package, you can have a large package or a small package. You can have a package for wholesalers. You can have a package at the shelf level for retailers. You can have a little cigarette package with 20 in. You can have a large box package with 100 cigarette boxes in.
Yeah,
I'm trying to label. I'm trying to belabor the point so that we come off this. We need to be able to cover wholesale and retail through prescriptions which are written up in different parts of the bill. But if we don't have wholesale in this clause, we land up with possibilities of loopholes. So I don't see the problem we create for ourselves if you just leave the word wholesale in this clause.
Can I just... If I start with the current number 4 on page 4.
Number 4 on page 4, yeah?
If I start with that, which is actually what was concerning the industry, that if you're talking about packaging as a wholesale, what you're going to have then is to read that clause which says, 4B says the package in which the tobacco product is sold bears the prescribed warning concerning the health hazards incidental to smoking of tobacco products. So in other words, what was the concern was that even with the package as the wholesale, you'll have to actually go through all the prescribed labeling. Now that clause is actually being deleted, as it were. But the issue of the labeling of a package in terms of health warnings and so on is not being deleted. That's why there's a concern that if you are actually talking about moving from a wholesaler to in the wholesale, you can't actually be expecting that packaging to also have all those those warnings. That was the issue, really. To answer Honorable, that's the issue. So what might need to be looked into is how then we can actually discuss for purposes of here, we can keep the wholesale but try and exclude that issue through a prescription. In other words, we can keep the wholesale under that clause because that was the reason why it was being taken out.
Under
definition packaging, yeah. But then ensure that we deal with this issue of the concerns about health warnings and so on and so on, in one way or the other. Through an exclusion, yes.
Thank you very much. So
we'll come back to it in the subsequent pages to come. Agree to? Now, any other thing on page 3? Page 3? I hope you are referring to all the submissions in front of you. Of course, it's a big pile, so that we are in line in terms of commenting all these things. None. Oh, I'm so sorry. Honorable Mashiko.
Chairperson, I think it was still under section 1, we had Sama talking about inclusion of other definitions like domestic workers. Under definition, I don't know whether it needs to be mentioned here or we leave it for any other space.
Now, your page 4, with your person that advertise or promote or cause to promote, and then we read the whole page 4, we deal with it as a whole. And I'm sure. That's why she wanted to say something, maybe she has no. Yeah. Any other issues there? Page 4?
You still have page 3?
Honorable,
thank you, Chair. Just to do with the contributions, sponsorship and contributions that are supposed to be made anonymously, we need to deal with that, and I believe the department's got a proposal.
Chair, thank you very much. On this question, Chair, we hadn't really finalized the formulation, but we were trying to have instead of talking about anonymously, we were trying to actually move towards saying, provided that that contribution is not used for purposes of promotion and so on, or sorts of things like that. So in other words, we're gonna be looking at a formulation which doesn't actually say the sponsorship must be made anonymous, but which says such sponsorship should not actually be used as a platform for promotion, marketing, and all those kinds of things. Now the actual formulation was not finalized, so but the principle is what we were trying to look at. In line with FICA, now I'm answering the FICA issues.
I have a proposal that would be in line with FICA. And that we offer the anonymously that the source and recipient of the funds is known only to those legally required to know, such as the banking institution, auditors, and the South African Revenue Service.
I'm not sure we read something in the Independent, Sunday Independent yesterday. There was an article by I think it was raising the question of Lilith Leaf, that there were all the museum creation, I'm sure, the long page thing on, and it was quite curious there in terms of the contributions made. And it was coincidental that the BAT contribution was made there. Then there was something else, I think it was in Durban. Is there something like called the BAT Trust?
Eh?
Was something like that also so there. But I'm just saying that, I mean, I'm sure so that what said the DG raises, it was the Lilith Leaf Trust, the Lilith Leaf Farm, about this Rigonia trialist, etc. When they were making a list of people who actually made it possible for them to do those old legacy things there, BAT was mentioned. Now the DG says here, if we say anonymously, it was not BAT that mentioned it in the Sunday Independent. It was Mick Woolpe, the director of the trust, making this particular announcement. Now, it's not for promotion now. It's people acknowledging. Yeah. So that's why I think this, provided it is not used to promote, but we frame it in such a way that, again, we use the cooperative word, no creation of loopholes.
I think one's got to be fair there. We don't want them to be able to, for example, now hold an art exhibition on the Beatles, to which you would attract a whole lot of 16 and 18 year olds and have school tours, and then put British American Tobacco, Rembrandt or whatever all over. But at the same time, one wants them to be able to hold those functions and just acknowledge verbally, when people come, that it is done by that tobacco company.
But why?
Why? Because it's valuable money promoting the arts, and I think the country lacks that.
We can be more. What about the promotion of an independent fund, like a health promotion fund, where money gets paid in? So then what gets advertised is that this was sponsored by the health promotion fund. It has nothing to do with BAT, because they're also generous and giving, and they don't want their name to be put all over everything. So
look, I think as with members of Parliament, Chair, we don't want the tobacco companies to sponsor whatever event and promote a particular brand, right? That's what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
We don't want them to, whatever, Camel or whatever, Rothman. But we say, I think what the majority of us feel is that if a company wants to sponsor an art exhibition or whatever the case may be, they can do so as long as they don't promote a brand. And that the right? Now, what we're saying is that BAT can put up their signs at the art exhibition, or we're limiting to that, right? But hang on, Ruth, hang on. And then obviously they've got to comply with all the SICA regulations, which, you know, everyone has to. But and if the art exhibition thanks all the donors at a public meeting or in front of the television, and BAT then get, or Philip Morris, let me use Philip Morris as an example, I've given them too much advertising. Philip Morris then gets, you know, free advertising from it. There's nothing we can do about that. But you must be adamant that no branding of cigarettes happens at these events. That's got to be shown. It's got to be clear. Yes, in the act. Because my fear is if we clamp down too much, then they're just going to say, well, we're not going to give you anything.
Yeah.
And I know, the sort of anti-smoking council would prefer that, but, you know, we also have to look at the broader issue.
Yeah.
Look, I think we are all in agreement that that we would like to acknowledge the good work that's been done. But using the word anonymously is actually not good legislation. So maybe we should seek guidance from the Auditor General, from the, you know, the law advisors to come up with a suitable term. Because, you know, I think you will know in the past, political parties that received donations anonymously came under huge fire. We won't go down that road. But it's poor. It's a poor term. I think let's come back with a better term.
That's why the people that provide it, it is not you to promote blah, blah, blah. That's the theory.
Chairperson, let me just be clarified here. We are worried about the word anonymous. To whom? Because if it's between the two parties, the charity that this organization is going to give to a certain organization or a school, it is between the school and the industry that we will give you so much for this particular event. Now, this word anonymous, to whom are we referring to here? Who must not know that this kind of a donation has been given to you?
The public.
Yeah. Not between the two parties.
That's why I can't remember what I said. Let them not put the... They donate, that some people donate to a school and all of a sudden on the walls of the school is face to corner.
Clover.
But the school will know that this
is
from... The school
in this book, when they report to authorities, we got this laboratory for donation of the AG.
We are opening up another loophole because, again, let's remember this is the tobacco industry. So there will be a meeting and they will offer a huge donation to the school, but they'll say it's on condition that you will thank us publicly. So the whole school is there, the parents' body, etc., etc. Of course! Of course!
Point of order, Kim. I know. Honorable Rabinovich, using your parliamentary privilege, that's wrong.
The Japan Tobacco. What is this people here? Japan tobacco industry. They say manufacturers and importers should be allowed to engage in corporate social responsibility contributions to charities and sponsorships, provided that such contributions and sponsorships do not promote tobacco use.
Yeah.
That's the spirit that we want to look at.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah?
I was going to say, even in some presentations, the industry mentioned that they do donate anonymously, but since we want to reopen it, I don't know, for the sake of the IFP, let's look where it's not working, because that charters and some forms that they have to form. But the presentations, I know Philip Morris mentioned that they do have some big sponsorships. And another industry also mentioned that they do donate anonymously.
Now,
I was just saying maybe the mass one can attend to, but the others really, let's not interfere with what's on the paper.
Mass was where was it?
Now she's giving me. She says, if we come back after lunch, this venue is booked.
Yeah, we're
not finished. Then there's a big problem. I thought we're going to finish today, this whole thing.
No, that's under next thing.
Yes?
On our side, without interfering with the committee, if we could just be allowed then to talk to all the things that you asked us to talk to, so that they are on the table. If you don't continue today, people start thinking about them.
And we'll discuss next time.
Yes. We can look at that.
Okay, let's proceed.
At the option.
I'm so sorry, I'm not that. I'm very sorry about this. Let's proceed. Mark one, let's delegate, we'll come back to it.
The document in front of us. Anything else on page 4? Anything else on page 4? None. Page 5? Page 5? Nothing. There was something Philip Morris said on this one. Yeah?
Thank you.
Yeah. Philip Morris submitted, if you look at it, where it says, no person can sell, offer to sell, supply, distribute, or buy any tobacco products, food, the postal services, the internet, or any other electronic
They were suggesting firstly that internet sales not prominent in South Africa therefore should be permitted provided proper age verification and tax checks have been complied with. Amend the clause to permit sales where proper age verification and tax checks have been conducted. That's what they said.
No.
No. Okay, that's rejected. Thank you very much. Any other comment? We proceed. Page 6.
Chair, we have
point of sale. You remember there was a lot of input on point of sale. There was an input on vending machines. I think the National Council Against Smoking suggested also that we should ban vending machines. You remember, I think there was a submission to that. Let's think about that. Unless we left, that's a very easy way of buying tobacco. Comments?
Chair, from our side, the only issue we addressed in relation to the input around Section 7, it's Section 7, B3BB, which is line 53, I think, 52, right at the bottom of the page. We are proposing that line be deleted. Markings designed to facilitate efforts to identify illegally manufactured and distributed products, etc., etc. We do concede, Chair, that that may actually conflict with the responsibilities of the authorities that deal with this matter, like SARS. So we might have different markings being expected, and it's not necessarily the Department of Health that would actually be interested in markings on illicit. It doesn't mean that we wouldn't ask the relevant authorities in SARS to put this in their legislation or to deal with it in that way. But that's why we're talking about health-related messages. The health-related messages cannot have anything to do to identify illegally manufactured and tax that has not been paid. So we feel it can be deleted, as was said by the elders.
Agree?
Can there be no onus on anybody here for these markings? You know, obviously I know you can't legislate for SARS, but I mean, can there not be some acknowledgement that obviously it has to be done by SARS, but that, because it really does have an indirect health benefit for us to cut down on the illegal illicit trade. So I'm just wondering why, is there no way that we can tie somebody down somehow, some way? Or an acknowledgement that it would be done by SARS, but I don't know.
We don't know how SARS will fashion the legislation itself. And then we can end up having legislation conflicting when they come up. That's the only question that we are avoiding.
Can we, perhaps as a committee, agree that we need to, that we formally request the SARS look urgently at this matter or whatever? Because we've done that in other committees.
No, I think I'm afraid, because if we do so, we may actually be executing other functions on our side that may create a... Francois is disturbing the check. I can't concentrate. All what I'm saying, because let's leave it. And hoping that there are other mechanisms elsewhere attending to this particular issue. I don't want us to give an injunction to other people to deal with it, only to find out the time frame, the programs. processes they engage in may not necessarily be in line with our thinking and pace.
Can we record the informal that as a committee we're requesting that the department prioritize looking into this issue and take it further so that we don't lose it because it is something that should be taken further. But it needs to be noted.
If you note it, it's fine. What I was saying was the honourable member should not be worried. She can still ask the question of the department, what did they do to this? Because we're saying we are only taking it out here because of the concerns that it's actually another authority. But we would want this matter pursued and we will ensure that we will pursue it. So you still can ask the question without the committee taking a decision.
That is fine.
Now, the point of faith is was quite contentious from a number of courts that we've seen in court.
Some people were raising the competition legislation. Some people were saying that the size they prescribed would may be a problem. Some were saying give a point of sale to each of one company, etc., etc. You remember that point? That was quite involved on the point of sale. And then the companies, we don't prescribe to why they put, but let's recognize that they are different players. Maybe the point of sale, let you take into account that there are different players in the industry. Any comments there?
Hear what we're saying. We're saying that tobacco companies may advertise at point of sale, I think it's one meter by 1 meter or whatever. Are we saying that, are we going to, is it going to come in regulation that each company is allowed to have an advert, or is it just allowing the point of sale people to decide how many ads to put up from one particular company? I'll give you an example. I was at Checkers at Canal Walk, and there's at the point of sale, because I went to have a look, not that I've got to cigarette counters, but I went to have a look because of this legislation, and there's one particular cigarette that's got six adverts across the whole point of sale. So, I mean, it doesn't give, and I know it's a free market and big business, whatever, but it doesn't allow the other players in. So what are we doing? Are we saying each one can have so many ads, or we're just saying leaving it up to the market? That's new character.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think there are some issues which we can't totally leave to the market, because here we are dealing with the health of our people, and if we are going to have hundreds and hundreds of cigarettes or at the point of sale, we are going to end up not knowing what the intention of our deliberations were. Because if we have to limit it, we'll just have to look at it and how do we do about it. Do we have one advert per company or what? Because I think reducing the those many, many colorful cigarettes at the point of sale will be advantageous for our people's health and all of us. I think we'll have to look at it and look at what we do about those many, many cigarettes, because we are not in the business competition, but we want to say how do we come to equity and promote what is necessary if we want to have them. But you are not here for or sales competition, but you are here for saying advertise equitably for the benefit of the health of our people. Thank you.
The fact that it's going to be as prescribed, is the department not going to obviously look into all of these issues? Because we've obviously conceded now that there can be some form of advertising at point of sale.
but we're obviously cautious in that we've put as prescribed because we expect obviously that with those restrictions to weigh up all of the pros and cons. And perhaps in this situation it makes sense that more it has to be gone into in greater detail before that regulation comes into being.
The Japan tobacco industry says the bill should clearly specify that retailers may place signs at the point of sale indicating availability and price of tobacco products consistent with the current provisions of the Act. So that's what they say. The Philip Morris, one sign for all tobacco products that would not allow. Oh, okay, that was a comment. What are they saying? They are not making recommendation, unfortunately. Yeah? They are not making any recommendation here. Prescribe maximum one sign per tobacco product to avoid the cluttered issue that you are raising. One sign per tobacco product. British American, is it? Am I right? Yes. What are they saying? I think it's a convoluted submission they are making that may actually trick us. The way they put it here, prescribed manner in his office that contains prescribed information regarding any tobacco available at his place, because it is a place of business in a prescribed manner. They are not clarifying that. But maybe the BAT one maybe is quite succinct and directed. Prescribe maximum one sign per tobacco product to avoid your Peter Stuyvesant, your K-Mel, your Tonto, what are tobacco, your Rockman. We say Marlboro smoking causes tobacco. There's a picture of somebody dying of tobacco. Finish it.
One big health warning.
No, there's prescribed sizes. I think there were some sizes there. I think Advocate Lambert, Advocate Lambert, there was, I think, one by 1 meter square, I think, sign, something like that. It's not an unreasonable sign. Can we just...
Do we go back to Honorable Rabinowitz's comment about no visuals in terms of the display?
No, thank you very much, Chair. This discussion is just a demonstration of the difficulties of trying to regulate an operational manner. Because that's the point I was making, that today it may seem very reasonable to say one sign per industry. But this committee may have to actually amend that if we find that the one sign per industry is interpreted in a particular way. Just like the interpretation of what the point of sale was. So that's why it's written in a manner that says it's under regulations. In fact, if you remember, the principal act, the section that is being amended, starts, the title is regulation. And then it says, let's amend B of that section, which actually now expands, because at the moment it talks about just the quantities of the hazardous constituencies. So Chair, I would still think that the principle of leaving this as a regulation is important. How the committee would want to then input and interact with the minister as she makes those regulations may be a matter the committee may consider. But I think it's difficult, for example, to say the sun must be 1 by 1 meter. Because points of sale have different kinds of spaces, for example, that are able to. So you have to take a whole range of things into consideration if you are actually going to just come up with that principle. Because one sign per company may mean the whole world for one point of sale. So I suspect that these matters are better left with regulation.
Then it says, so the whole BA up to Roman 1 to Roman 4, we leave as is and refer it to regulation. Oh, you think about it? Thank you very much. Anything else on page 4? Page 6? Page 7? Page 7? Or your page, what?
Yeah, I don't know where to propose this, but since we're at the end of the bill, recently the Correctional Services Act put a clause in, and if I can just read it out to you, which I think we may want to do so as well. It says, the Minister must refer proposed regulations to the relevant parliamentary committees in both houses dealing with the department. And I think we should put something similar in this bill to look at the regulations. I think you mentioned last week, Chair, the Minister does have a wide range of powers, and as a committee, we should also satisfy ourselves that the aims of this bill have been reached. For example, the issue about advertising right now, we all have different ideas of what advertising should take place at point of sales. There's just one example. And I think as a committee, we should receive the regulations and go through them and give them the okay. I really do. I think it's part of our oversight role as well. And other, as I say, other committees have started doing this. I think we should too.
Yeah, I really endorse that. I think it's strange that it comes in through smoking, which all of us want to regulate, whereas it's been the practice in all other health regulations, health legislation, to hugely regulate and never to know what the minister has done about it. So it's funny that it happens through smoking, which we do want to regulate, but it doesn't matter. I think the principle is a very good one. And that we should, in all our legislation, if we do it with smoking, we should do it consistently with everything. Amend all our regulations, all our legislation to require that before regulations are put in place, they are referred to the committee. And we have to decide whether it's, you know, an in consultation or a, just for the purposes of consultation, because we actually don't know how much of the health bill has been implemented, what, you know, all the bills that we've passed, what has been implemented, because we never have any knowledge of regulations. So I think that irony being what they are, let's do it in smoking, that's one good thing they'll have done for all other legislation.
No. Let's not emulate what the Correctional Services Portfolio Committee is doing. I'm just trying to think to myself here, and I think it's not the first time we're saying this. Regulations are an executive function, am I right? And therefore, that's a realm of the executive minister. Maybe what we need to do, so I don't want us really to prescribe the mechanisms vis-a-vis regulations. What maybe we could suggest, like we wanted to do, but we were all, overwhelmed by this legislation. Remember in our program, we had this particular section that the department to brief us on the implementation of the National Health Act, since we passed it in 2003, but we didn't have time because every time we think we're going to do this thing, there's legislation coming, we have no time to brief. Maybe what we should do, I don't think we should put it in the legislation, fortunately. The accounting officer is here now, that maybe we make this part special plea, that when in terms of the regulations to this legislation, there was a point raised, I think it was Mr. Francois, on the nicotine content and the implementation. So I'm saying that let's agree more to say and I'm sure also the chair in interaction with the DG and the department. Let's ensure that we get briefed about this regulation. Now that we'll be going through this particular legislation, of course, there'll be all sorts of processes with the NSOP, etc. But there's so much, you know, gambit of legislation we have passed that in terms of the regulations, the implementation, the challenges of life, we have not yet been privy to. We can encourage the spirit of interaction just to give us a briefing on the regulation, on the traditional health practitioner legislation, regulation on this one. Let's agree the spirit of this one rather than to enshrine this, like the correctional services. I've seen sometimes how they operate. I may not agree as the chair of the health sometimes how to operate from the particular angle. That's the way I act myself. But DG?
In addition, again in the same spirit, we can always, because by law we are supposed to publish all regulations for public comment. What we can also commit to is that at the same time as we publish them, we'll make them available to the members of the committee, because there's nothing that stops individual members writing to the minister and raising their concerns about whatever is being regulated. So if we can commit to that, that we will indeed actually make simultaneously as we publish them, also say, by the way, these are the regulations in terms of this act that you passed. The closing date for comments is in 3 months' time. And then members may do as they do.
No, we don't want to comment on the when they have been promulgated.
Yes.
Let's get the department to come and present to us, and we discuss with us, and we understand with them, because we are so busy that we may just leave it by chance. But if that's the spirit, and I'm sure we'll interact, and then maybe draw a list of some of those processes within our busy schedule. You know, I was looking for something that I think we overlooked, which I think is quite important, but I can't find it now, but I'm going to find it. There was a section dealing with the education institution. Remember that one? And the smoking people there.
Yeah.
What clause was that?
Page
5, whereabouts?
Line 31.
Line 31. Come again, yeah. Page 5, line 31. No person shall sell or offer to sell tobacco products in any health establishment, agreed, pharmacy, agreed, and any place where a person under the age of 18 years receives education and training. Now, there was a view from Japan Tobacco Industry, Mike Mabasa, about universities and tertiary schools. What's our comment there?
Chair, I can assure you, Chair, that his comment, I would have liked it to go as further as he was suggesting. But this says any place where any person under 18. So if you can prove that in a business school there's no under 18, then the clause wouldn't apply. As he was saying also. Yeah, he was talking about those places in his input. I'm talking about his input there. But university, yes. But we would, that's why we haven't actually changed that, because we're saying any place where they are under 18. It's like you cannot drink, you cannot have under 18 people in a bar. That's just the law. So it's the same thing here. You cannot have any place where there are people under 18 selling tobacco.
We're happy with that clause as it is.
Happy? Okay.
Let me thank I think is there anything else on page 7? thank you very much. Members, thank you very much for your patience, diligence, and I think the manner in which you really applied your mind in dealing with this very complicated legislation. Thanks, Parliamentary Law Advisor, State Law Advisors, Advisors of the Department, Department DG, members of the public, stakeholders. Thank you very much. Tuesday, am I right? Viewers, we'll deal with it Tuesday again. Thank you. And Wednesday. All the Percent dining hall. Sorry. Lunch is that just across here. Let's all cross over the floor. I don't know.